Please rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's nothing to announce about any action taken in closed session, and that brings us to our student representative to the Board of Trustees, Madeline Baker.
Hello. Sorry I wasn't here the last two meetings. For Lyndhurst, the Lyndhurst High Blazerettes performed at the Veterans Day Parade last week. This club is preparing to take part in two future parades for the Marysville Christmas and Olive First Christmas. The LHS Blazerettes are a group of girls who share a passion and love for any form of dance. They also have performed in school rallies and other school occasions. The LHS FFA has also recently held a barn dance that was well attended and a lot of fun for everyone. Their school has participated in the So You Can canned food drive for almost a month. The food drive is coming to an end on November 17th. We are also working close with the same charity for a future voluntary food packaging event. Students will be able to put together packages that have enough food to feed a family for the Christmas holiday. Students in multiple clubs, the Senate, and who have heard word of the event are all enthusiastic to participate. This week, we are planning for basketball homecoming, winter ball, and the annual academic rally. These are all events that are taking place after winter break. The leadership students are making the preparation soon and will be brainstorming new ideas that will boost student involvement and spirit. Upcoming events, including the fall sports banquet, along with Linda family dinner night that some of our students will attend to help out. The LHS basketball team is also doing their fundraiser this Friday on November 20th. For MHS, we had no school for a teacher work day on October 12th. October 14th was the PSATs. For October 16th, we had our homecoming and our theme was superhero. And we had our usual parade around the McKinney and Kynock, and it was very successful. The dance went really well, but the DJ had technical difficulties at the end, so that wasn't very fun. We had a street rally during the parade, and we had a lot of participants, which was really good. October 2nd, FFA had a Panda Express fundraiser, and I believe 6% of the profits come in, and they go to us. And then October 23rd was our bye week for football. October 24th, FFA Nationals went to New Orleans, Nashville, Kentucky, and they visited multiple museums like the Louisiana Slugger Museum. They went to a Vicksburg tour guide, a rodeo concert, and they did lots of other fun stuff while they were there. October 30th, our Transitions Club held a trick-or-treat for our freshmen, and they visited a set list of 18 staff members to receive goodies. So we printed a piece of paper that had the list of the teachers, and they had to go and find them so they can get candy in their little goodie bags, which was really fun. November 4th, Student Council had a fundraiser for Panda Express. November 6th, we had our last game against Capital Christian, and we lost, but that's okay. It was our senior send-off, which went really well. We also had a blood drive that ran smoothly, and we received a gift card for $100 for our last blood drive in May because we had the most participants, and we donated the most blood, and they gave us a plaque for High School of the Year. November 3rd through the 17th, our leadership class is holding a canned food drive, including all non-perishable foods for first period classes. The first place receives a pizza party, second place receives root beer floats and ice cream, and the third place receives cookies. November 13th, our playoff game is in Sonora at 7, which we unfortunately lost, but it was a really good game. It was really cold. It was freezing there. November 16th through the 20th, we will be having our battle week. Our dress-up days will be bow dye versus bandanas, tacky tourist versus ugly sweater, which is why I'm wearing this really ugly sweater, camo versus tie-dye on Wednesday, rap versus country on Thursday, and blue versus pink on Friday. And We did the Battle Week because last year our rally for, we had a Battle of the Sexes, and there was a complication with that. And so we just made it a Battle Week so it wouldn't just focus on the gender, which I think was a lot more positive than it was last year. And our rally will be held on the 20th. November 19th, winter sports will be taking their pictures, and November 23rd through the 27th, we'll be having our Thanksgiving break. And that's it.
Thank you very much. That was a pretty complete presentation for the last month and a half. Okay. That brings us to our presentations. So the Williams Act update.
This evening we have Bobby Abold from the Yuba County Office of Education, who is here to present their report and, I believe, to answer any questions that the board may have for her.
Good evening. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. I don't often get the chance to see the Marysville folks, so hello. This is my fifth year doing the Williams visits for your school district, and I have to tell you, I don't have a fancy presentation for you. I trust that you've seen the reports. Our instructional material sufficiency was very smooth. I enjoyed the visits with the site principals and seeing the classrooms and what was going on all of the school campuses that we got to visit. I know that there were a couple of sites with facilities issues, but I spoke with our director of maintenance and operations this afternoon, and he said that he's been talking with both Scott and Travis here and trust that work orders are already in progress. Of course, everybody knows that the Lyndhurst air conditioning has been the topic of much interest, and our board president, George Smith, mentioned at our last board meeting when our superintendent Josh Harris presented the Williams reports, that school wasn't built in the day when these great big air conditioning systems were there. And so, the public needs to understand that the district is faced with quite a daunting task trying to get it up to speed. So we look forward to hearing reports about how you guys are going to accomplish that. Good luck with that, and good luck with dealing with all of the, interesting media that comes along with those situations. So all good from the county office and my office. And again, the pleasure to have an opportunity to work with you and your folks. Any questions?
Thank you for the report.
Okay. Thank you. All right. And I'm going to take off, so enjoy the rest of your meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Facilities update. Ryan will give us a brief presentation.
As he brings it up, this is going to be our normal quarterly facilities energy management update. So every 3 months, we're updating the same report, bringing you quick things. So we provide this to you a few days in advance with your packets for the board meeting. So we're going to go pretty swiftly through things. If there's anything in particular you want to discuss in detail or have questions, please let us know. But I'm going to turn it over between myself, Ms. Jensen, and Mr. Barnett. So again, we cover topics based on our funding source. You can see we have a multitude of funding sources. Our bond projects, just to give you an idea of the money as we start to close those monies out for Measure P, while we still have authorization, the assessed values haven't allowed us to go out. And so we have, we're down to the last little bit, a little over $75,000 in encumbrances, less what our cash balance is. So we're down to about $6,000 that isn't spoken for. And it's actually down to about $2,000 now. That was October 31st, so we're just closing that money out. But together with Fund 35, which we're still working with the Office of Public School Construction to see how we can demonstrate that money, there's some other emergency repair money that isn't listed here. So we're trying to, again, focus on generating enough income to finish the landscaping of both Oliver's and Johnson Park. So with that, I'll turn it over to Cynthia, and she'll start getting into each project. And this was a bond project. You remember the septic system at Foothill.
Good evening. It's good to be here again.
On the Foothill project, the only thing that's changed since last quarter is the figures, and most specifically the construction engine, and the engineering fees will be those that continue to change as we close the project out. We have received the as-builts, and we're in compliance as far as the county is concerned, so that's the good news. Again, just a picture of sort of what it looks like now, far improved. Other sources of funding?
Just real quick, as we continue to work on our master plan, and that will come at the end, we have deferred maintenance. We basically have spoken for with two projects, the HVAC, which we're split funding at Lyndhurst, and also the Marysville High School air conditioning, but we've encumbered that much. So there's a remaining balance, but that more or less will be spent this year. We have a little over $2 million in our total routine restricted maintenance account. So we have a little bit remaining that's unencumbered or unexpended. Our general fund one-time money is pretty much allocated, but we're still looking to see how things come in. Obviously, we have our first bid in on the HVAC project, and that's being split funded. We have about $2.2 million for clean energy, and we're working on submitting our plans for Linda HVAC. We'll also have projects at Marysville and Lyndhurst High School, and the charter, we're going to work with them to submit their plan. So that's what we anticipate in funding. That's what we currently have. And getting back to some projects and the one-time money projects, I'll turn it back to Cynthia.
Okay, again, the only thing that's changed from last quarter is the figures, mainly for construction and some DSA final fees as we close the project out. Same for South Lyndhurst. The only thing that will change largely is the construction fees and the DSA fees. And then some of the final billing for the architect probably as well on this one. We do have all the as-built warranties and O&Ms, so we are furthest along with this project in terms of closeout. An upcoming project that will happen this summer, as you heard the last couple of board meetings, starting in October, we were surprised with a legacy project that will be needing to be closed out this summer. We've also, since, as you'll find in the slides later, adding a bit of path of travel improvements and a play apparatus. The infamous Lyndhurst, we went to bid. We got the low bid. It's $1,417,000 with DD Construction. We're doing our kickoff and document exchange meeting tomorrow with a quick site visit to have them tour the facilities with the architect and me, along with our maintenance staff, especially the HVAC folks in the maintenance department. We are in design for the Lyndhurst Quad. This project was sort of gotten started in terms of design in 2009, and we've picked up where we left off at that time, and we're moving forward with the design right now. This will be a summer construction project, and this is a good depiction of the very large area that you will see that will be impacted this summer. The site will be shut. It's approximately 55,000 square feet of concrete that will be removed. 2,200 linear feet of gas pipe will be replaced, and then 55,000 square feet of concrete will go back in. So it's going to be a massive undertaking. Next, school site funded projects. I mentioned this. This will be lumped in with our Boga Legacy project. We'll add a path of travel to the playground, which is required by DSA. And the site is paying for the apparatus itself. And it will all this work, including the play apparatus and the path of travel, will all happen this coming summer. So it's going to be a busy summer for me. This is more on school site funded projects. MCAA, we've talked about this over the last year. It's in design right now. We did our potholing to locate the water line this afternoon, and we did find that. So we are moving along. We've done some tree work so far, and we have a great architect who's in design with this. Expect to go into DSA this winter and have approval about at the new year or so. We're looking at a sign for Lyndhurst to replace the one that's at the very front of the school. It hasn't really functioned much in the recent years. The site has a budget of $25,000, but we're in the investigative stage right now. In fact, purchasing is helping us look into this matter. Olive Hurst, with the removal of the old office into room 4, and based on security, we'd like to install some fencing, open style fencing, a gate, and some hardware to really shut the section off so that students can't get out of the hallway there as easily. We do have an estimate for that. As you can see here from Finley Ironworks, they're about $4,700. I was hoping to get this work done over the winter break, but Finley being a one-man shop, I'm having trouble getting a service agreement. So see what happens there. This is an area where the bulk of the work will happen for the MCA portable project. We will be moving, as a part of the scope, this storage unit over to an area near the tennis courts. This building was not DSA approved when it was originally installed, and given its proximity to active classrooms, it has to be relocated. So that is in the scope of work. All right, on to maintenance project.
Good evening. So we'll move right in here to the maintenance grounds projects. So here we have Browns Valley. I don't know if anybody's really made it up there. We went ahead and created an overflow parking lot out there. It was brought to my attention, and everybody else is out here, that they were concerned with the safety of kids being able to enter into this parking lot where people are doing drop-off and pick-up. We had some estimates kind of come out through contractors. The cost was quite extensive. We were able to save, avoid sending this out to contracts. We saved about $22,000 for the district by doing this through our maintenance department. It came out really beautiful. So if anybody has a chance to go out there, check it out. Again, here's Cedar Lane HVAC comm room. A lot of these slides are going to kind of go over a cost avoided. We've taken on an extra personnel in the HVAC department, so you'll see a lot of these slides kind of circulate around the HVAC. But again, you can see there's $15,000 savings by doing this in-house, and we're able to take on these projects now that we have extra staffing. Again, Edgewater HVAC, same thing. Contractor price, $9,500. We saved about $7,700 doing that in-house. Foothill retaining wall. This was quite the task. This was probably about 300 feet of keystone wall that we installed here at Foothill. It was brought to our attention that kids and students were slipping off this hill every winter, posing injuries, obviously getting pretty messy on the back end of that. So as you can see, we've avoided quite a huge cost by doing that in-house. It's been a project that I've heard about since the day I've been here. We wanted to take this on. So as you can see, we have the asphalt drive now going up the side of the hill, so the mowers and things can go up and down there. That trench in there is about 4 feet deep, so we've gone ahead and reinforced that hill. So it's beautiful. Again, it's just part of the process as we're doing the maintenance department, just kind of undertaking more and more projects and trying to do this in-house so we can keep funding these projects. I mean, we're able to do a lot more doing these in-house. Foothill field and irrigation improvements. Right now, we're currently in the process of deciding how we're going to go ahead and do this. It will be done. It's just a matter of finding out, what the scope's going to entail. But we have some good ideas, so there'll be more to come on that in the future. Just kind of the polishing off that retaining wall and that drive. So, again,
this will be done a little bit over time. Obviously, as we have the rainy season, we're going to do what we can here and do it in stages. So hopefully, we'll have a full solution through the summer. Right. By next year, it should be in a much better form.
Right, BVID is shut down for the winter already, so we can't really run a lot of tests on water pressure and things like that, so we can't scope out exactly what our plan of attack is. So this will be more to come on this one. Kynoch, again, this is just an example of more water main breaks we see all over the district, where our maintenance staff quick to respond. Wherever you can see a valve box there, we've been trying to put isolation valves to buildings, so when we do have water main breaks, instead of shutting down an entire site, we're able to isolate it. So that's an ongoing effort here in the district that we face probably at least once a week. We have some type of water main break somewhere. So as those things happen, we're now putting isolation valves in. Another example of hard work our maintenance team's doing, we're doing a lot of thinking outside the box. This is right outside here at Marysville High School. We had a pest problem with birds. It's been an ongoing issue, so we all put our heads together and created this enclosure around the units to keep birds and squirrels and everything else out of that area. It seems to be working so far. We haven't had any complaints about critters getting in there. compressor change out. Again, now that we have the extra staffing, we're able to take on more of these compressor change outs. These are just some examples. These are not the entirety of what we're doing. I'd probably say that we've got about 20 of these things already done since we brought in extra staffing. So as you can see, it's $1,300 a pop each time we're able to get two guys out there and take care of this. PG&E, tree removal, kind of self-explanatory. PG&E's coming out and removing the trees, and we just have to incur the cost of taking out the stumps afterwards. Another 10-inch water line repair that was out here at Marysville as well. I'm sure everybody here at DO feels it every time something goes down. We're able to put another isolation valve there. Heat pump replacement, just more examples of cost avoided by doing things in-house. We used to contract a lot of this stuff out. Now we're doing it here. So again, I can honestly tell you the money that we're saving within maintenance, we've been able to take on more projects, so to speak, where in the past we might only be able to change two of these. We've been able to change out five, literally for the price of one. So really excited about those type of things. Olivehurst, we're going to be adding in a door. This has to do with safety. It kind of working together with facilities as they're putting a wrought iron gate. This, again, I'm not sure that people have to go through the front office versus coming onto campus, and for that matter, keeping students on campus without letting anybody get out. Another pressure change out. Another example, Yuba Feather, we changed out six windows up there. They have, these windows were horrible. We went up there and there's about an inch and a half gap. On the left is the before pictures, and you can't see it here, but literally an inch and a half gap in each one of those windows. We walked in there and you could feel air coming out, and if you got on the roof, you could hear it whistling coming out of there. So on the right, we just installed these six windows. It came out phenomenal. We're gonna keep on doing these type of things. We're kind of venturing out of maintenance a little bit and taking on more of these projects and seeing how they turn out. So again, like to keep these things in-house and continue on. Yuba Gardens, you can't see it here. We're gonna be replacing siding. This is kind of upcoming over the holiday, over a holiday break. Down at the bottom, this is all dry rotted all the way across the bottom of that picture. Can't really see it, but you pretty much put your finger and poke a hole in the side. Various painting projects. Currently, we have our painter. We have one painter for the district, and we have him going around making sure that we have fire life safety, painting steps, fire lanes, things of such of that nature. Miscellaneous carpet replacements. We've got Lyndhurst High School C-Wing. These will be done over the winter break. We've gone ahead and maintenance, and we've identified a lot of the classrooms. We're out there walking these classrooms. We're looking for the worst of the worst, and we're going to hit those first. And we're going to continue to work on that, get these classrooms up to par. But they're in some dire need out there, so we are definitely starting on that mission to get those taken care of. Perimeter roadway gate bollards, that's kind of in the process. We're still kind of designing. We still have to go get our USA utilities, things like that. But we've also utilized different parts, gates, things like that from all over the district, so we have material. We're going to retrofit and get this taken care of. So that's still, again, in process to be completed. Freezer roof, there's a lot in this left hand. You can see where we've created an entire roof. We had a pretty expensive bid on this one, and we decided to go ahead and take this on in-house. Our maintenance staff is very talented. As you can see, they completely added a roof to this. Inside of that room is a lot of expensive electrical equipment that operates that freezer. And every winter before that was tarps and sandbags on that roof. So we went ahead and retrofitted that. On the right, you can see the finished product. So no more leaking roofs. We're taking these things on now with professional results. Again, we have a lot of talented, skilled trades out there that are able to do this work. So we're just really gonna utilize them. These are miscellaneous improvements. You'll go through, you can look at them. We've implemented the preventative maintenance plan, our HVAC, as we're doing this in-house. We've just finished the entire district on replacing filters and belts. I was amazed at some of the filters we found haven't been changed since 2013. Somehow they slipped through the cracks, but at this point, every single filter is accounted for and logged per room, per building. So if anybody wants to call up and ask, does my filter get changed, we can give them the exact date and when it was done. So really happy about that. Currently, we're working on emergency lighting through the district. That's our next thing we're tackling right now, is looking at emergency exit lighting. Electrical safe practices, we're ongoing with that. Preventative maintenance codes, we're working on our HERA compliance. You'll see a lot of these things kind of come up. We've implemented a weekly tailgate safety meeting to where we meet with all our maintenance staff and we discuss safe practices, OSHA requirements, our professional demeanor, and technical skills, and it's kind of an open forum of what we can do better and kind of a safety check out there. Deferred maintenance projects, these are going to go into current deferred maintenance projects that are still slated to be done. You'll see on there some that are already completed. Foothill intermediate storm drain cleaning. This is the type of stuff we run into in maintenance. This is a storm drain at Foothill. As you can see, this is huge. This is probably about a foot and a half, 2 foot wide opening on this, and that's all that's left for the foothills or for the storm drain. So again, we're just giving some examples of things we're up against, and we're going to keep on moving on maintenance. Marysville High School kitchen slated for the summer. We're going to take care of that. And on to energy management, Prop 39. it's a mouthful.
Okay, to wrap this up, our energy management efforts are ongoing along with our Prop 39 results. As we do projects, we're saving energy. In addition to that, you know, I'm doing audits as I'm out at sites. Travis is helping his folks or programming our stats off when we're not in session and turning the units back on, of course, in advance of coming back to school after a long break. In terms of Linda, it is one of the schools that is slated for Prop 39 funding. It's the first. We are actually got a DSA exemption. I think we're probably one of the first and only in the state in quite some time to get an exemption. So instead of paying thousands of dollars in DSA fees, we paid $400 to have them certify us as exempt from their review. But we will have oversight with an inspector, given the large workload of construction this summer. We'll need some management and oversight. You'll see the bid opening date there. It's replacing 18 HVAC units. They're rooftop mounted with the installation of sensors in the classrooms and the parking light heads from the current heads to LED lighting, so we'll save energy there. The lighting retrofits for the internal classrooms to LED lamps will be separate from the actual program itself. Moving on, this is an example of the state's worksheet. It's one of many. In order to submit our plans for approval and fund follows, you must complete 4 or 5 of these and then put them online. So this is just an example of the process to get a Prop 39 plan approved. It's quite extensive. You can see some of the estimated savings. These numbers do change. They're estimated by an engineering firm in terms of KWH, but it is a good rough estimate and required by the state. MCAA overview for Prop 39. We are purchasing wireless stats for their classrooms, and the parts are $9,300. The installation will be $900 for the installation of those parts. They will be programmed after installed, and that will happen over the Thanksgiving break. The plan is almost ready. I literally got the updated report from the state's engineer. It will be submitted online because all of the worksheets are done. And here's an example of one of the worksheets that the state requires for the charter school. And Ryan.
So not to overkill, we're working on some energy management data collection, and we're going to work internally to address a lot of those issues. But I think a lot of it, too, we're working on, this is all leading to our facilities master plan. So, again, you know, we have that board study session on December 15th at 4 p.m. where we're really going to delve into the issues and have more of a discussion about where we want to take this plan. You know, obviously, we haven't had a plan for 10 years, and we are doing things, and we're moving forward, but we want to have a long-term plan. So there's a lot more to come on facilities, and we'll see you again in 3 months with another updated presentation. Until then, do you have any questions or comments?
Ryan, here's a question for you. On the gas line that's going to go underneath the Linders Quad, is that going to be, I know a lot of times on these projects, they'll put a 2-inch gas line inside a 4-inch pipe so that 5 or 10 years down the line, if something goes wrong, it could be replaced without tearing up the concrete again.
Well, I'll have Cynthia comment on the line. We obviously want to be able to replace and not tear up the concrete, because just to give you an idea, Cynthia put that map up, and there was a lot of gray. That grayer was everything that's being replaced. We're not just replacing it and putting it like kind. We're going to update it and modernize it a lot, like you see the flat work that's done near the new science building. There's going to be more containment of especially the trees and the roots, because that's what brings up the the quad. We're not going to have those gaps in between. You know, we have those gaps with the wood in between. And there's also going to be ornamental things. There'll be like seat walls and other things that will make it a lot more conducive to the student population. So we don't want to pull it up. So I'll have Cynthia add on the gas line details.
We're still early in design, although it's underway. And the stage we're at right now is we're getting the gas loads put together so we know exactly what the draw will be. And then once we have that data gathered and shared with the architect, they'll do their calculations, and then the lines will be sized appropriately. So I really can't comment on the size at this point, but next time we come back, we'll have an update.
All right. I know they do that a lot with electrical now and also with gas pipelines so that they don't have to destroy the concrete every time something goes wrong. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I have one comment too. I would just like to say thank you for the presentation. I think it's not only important for our schools to be functional, but the aesthetics part of it I think is very important also. So thank you for everything that you're doing. Please thank your work, your crew, Travis, and because it's very important that kids are able to come to a school that looks nice and see nice carpet and those things. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and definitely these directors, obviously under their leadership, director and supervisor, Mr. Scott Lane, but definitely the staff, the custodial grounds, and then maintenance has been taking on a tremendous amount of projects. I mean, they've been really amazing this year, and we should be really proud of all the work and talent that we're seeing displayed on a daily basis.
Stuff that you've shown us, there's like $45,000 or $50,000 worth of savings.
It's also quality work too. Yeah. Like Travis talked about the roofing and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I've really seen the talent that we have in our staff, and for them to contribute. You know, I know we talk obviously in the classroom. We need our students to achieve and perform, but to provide them with the facilities and the environments to learn is very important. And, for them to do those types of things, it's been really amazing to see them perform so greatly.
On the Foothills field, do you guys have any idea what BVID's schedule typically is for the springtime? Do they have some kind of a date when they put the irrigation water back in the system, or do you have
any
ideas?
We don't have a date, but I'm assuming it will be after the rain season, but if it's March or April, we'll deal with that because we have to test the pressure because we're going to have to put it into zones to get the automated. So by having to test the pressure, run the filtration system, all that has to be.
Right, and your
so
boosts,
we'll work with them. But
so you're using booster
spring.
Pumps off of BVID's system?
Possibly.
Depending on what kind of pressures you're getting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're still in the process of looking at potholing, seeing the size of the mains, really understanding where we're at in regards to planning this out. So it's kind of the early stages, but as we find out what our head pressure is and things like that, then we'll know what kind of pump we need. If we need a pump, most likely we will, and how many stations we'll need to put in.
Yeah, because head pressures are going to vary greatly because you never know what kind of a head of water you're going to have coming down a ditch. If somebody turns on up ahead of you, then your system's not going to work properly, so
exactly.
You are going to have a booster pump. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Otherwise, your system's going to be fluctuating greatly. So, okay, thank you.
Okay, comments from board members? Mr. Denable?
I would just like to thank all past and present veterans for Veterans Day and hope that our students know why we have the 11th of November off. Thank you.
I have family in France. I'm sure some of you do too. Jim and Denise, the incident, as well aware of, offer their condolences and hopefully it won't escalate. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
I would like to take just a moment and maybe talk about student engagement and student involvement. Last week I had the privilege of going to watch the MCAA play and thinking about the kids just looked like they had a ball doing it. All the co-curricular and extracurricular activities that are sponsored by our school sites are so important to students. Those are a lot of the things the music programs, being able to march in the parade, being able to perform, those are the things that keep students coming to school and doing what they need to do to be able to participate. And I just know it takes a lot of effort and time by all the staff at school sites to make those things happen, but that's a very, very valuable part of education. I just want to say thank you.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes, I would like to tag on to what Randy said. The Veteran Day's parade, I was down there at the end of it. Bernie and I and Jolie was there and some of the exchange club, we were putting up flags. And I always like to see when somebody goes above and beyond. There was a kid from Lyndhurst that was waiting to start, and he came over and said, "Can I help you?" And for about an hour, he stayed with us and helped put up those flags. He said, "I like to help." And then he went back there, and his name was Charlie Kolkolka. And I talked to Bob about that, and it was just a good sign of how kids like that, they just like to help. They like to get involved. And when Lyndhurst came through, there was really comments in the crowd, how much they're glad to see the band. They commented on how great the uniforms were. And anytime there's a parade, people are out there listening, watching, and they really enjoy the music back in our school. Also, Career Day, David Jones wanted me to mention that on Thursday they're going to have a Career Day at South Lyndhurst from 9:30 to 11. And I think he said they're bringing 11 different factions for the kids to see, and he's really working to get the kids involved out there, and you can see a major difference. And when you go around the school, also I spent an afternoon at Kynoch and saw some of the things they were doing. The principal was showing me around. On Fridays, they do a video streaming where they highlight all the kids or staff in the school, the events for the weeks, and also they do the same thing at South Lyndhurst. And that really is quite a program, and the kids really enjoy that. And every class at Kynoch, I noticed they've got a brag board for every class where they highlight staff and students. And these are the kind of things that kids enjoy. They don't get sometimes a lot of praise at home, but that praise goes a long way, whether it is kids or staff. And I'm sure Glenn wants to talk about the FFA thing.
To add on to what Mr. Rasmussen says, it's the involvement. Last week, Jim and I judged the FFA opening and closing, just the group here at the high school. There must have been 75 kids, and I don't know how many parents in back, and you know the two instructors were there. That enrichment and involvement, and co-curricular and extracurricular activities, so important to keep these kids here, as well as what we saw tonight. The buildings, the facilities, the environment, everything has to be working for us to be successful, and it comes from everybody out there, the maintenance, the teachers, the secretaries, everyone, and we're just a very small part of it, and I'm very proud to be a small part of this big group.
Yes, I am too.
Thank you.
I'm going to dovetail on that in a minute. Yes, the Paris terror attack. Okay, is weighing heavily on everybody's mind too, and there's no one that has said that could never happen here again, because we have to be on our toes there. I had a chance to address the Lyndhurst faculty their last meeting, and big stress on teamwork. We all work together, the bus drivers, the custodians, the groundskeepers. All those contribute to the success of the student. All the district employees contribute to our success. I'm going to say another thing about Kynoch. I noticed in reading their literature, and this goes for a lot of the elementary schools, Arboga. We've been to several things out in Arboga where they recognize kids. Their student of the month list was fantastic. A little blurb about why they were student of the month. This kid, I'm sure that, you know, that goes home. And it was an outstanding Veterans Day parade. I want to say that the Lyndhurst High School, they have a girl unit that marched in it. They were just so excited, and they just performed wonderfully. Band, it's nice to see all the different bands again. It was a great day there. So I think we have a lot to look forward with the music program. Okay. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association? No, okay. Operating Engineers Local, number 3. California School Employees Association, 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees Supervisory Unit. There's no public comment cards that, here, so we'll go to Superintendent's Report.
Well, thank you. This evening, I just wanted to mention that the Marysville Joint Unified School District Education Foundation just completed their fall mini-grant awarding of 19 mini-grants that were successful, and so we're very excited to be able to continue to fund the many, many projects that we see coming forward, which brings back a lot of the things that we've been missing for many years in our classrooms. This year, we are not going to be having a wine and dine under the stars. Instead, we are going to alternate every other year. So this year, we'll not have the big event at Ellis Lake, but we will be selling Dine Around Town tickets, which will also publicize our next year's event, as well as give folks a chance to win $50 gift certificates for various restaurants throughout Marysville and Yuba City. And so that has been kind of a nice fundraiser along with the Wine and Dine Under the Stars, but we're going to separate them just to kind of keep things moving smoothly and to allow the folks who work so hard to pull off that Wine and Dine Under the Stars a little breather every other year. So as long as we continue to be able to raise funds.
What really happened is the stars were already booked.
They were dancing with the stars. How, Mr. Cena? That's a whole other story. Sorry about that. and that is the end of my report now that I have Mr. Cena blushing back there.
I think the, sorry, guys, that was a decline in the agenda. Okay, that brings us to the consent, or excuse me, board approval of minutes. If Mr. Crawford moves to approve, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Danimal. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? And now the consent agenda. Would anyone like anything pulled from the consent agenda? Motion by Mr. Boom. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds. Any discussion? None? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Brings us to new business. First item, Board of Trustees, annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees. And the purpose of the agenda is to request the board select a day and time for the annual organizational meeting. And the suggested date was 12/8/15. Any discussion? Mr. Harris moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Danimal seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? All right. Purchasing department. Disposal of surplus and worn district property for 2015-16 school year. Bob, we have a speaker here.
Well,
Kathy's here if you have questions.
If you have any questions. Otherwise, it is requesting the board to approve the resolution to dispose of surplus and worn district property.
And the board gets first dibs, yeah. Right?
Bring your checkbook. Yeah, bring your
that
checkbook.
That works well.
Is this a disposal animate or inanimate objects?
Obsolete.
Yeah.
You can vote.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved by Mr. Harris, seconded by Mr. Danville. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Hey, you could get a good cassette
good job,
player.
Good Kathy.
Never know. Any opposed? None. Brings us to personnel services number 1. We're holding a public hearing, so I'll open the public hearing. Any comments from the Mr. Cena?
When Mr. Carrione shared this at one of our principals' meeting, I felt that we should come up and at least applaud this effort, because fundamentally we operate on one rule, the golden rule, to treat everyone as we'd want to be treated ourselves. And we'd like to applaud this policy and work together in the future toward practices. Right now, I think there's 25 school sites plus our district office. And so if we work together on common practices for approaching, if we're going to communicate and solve problems, fundamentally, we do it in a treating with mutual respect in whatever the dynamics are. And so I just applaud that adopting this policy, and look forward to doing some work with regarding fans and audiences at sporting events and just day-to-day interaction. And so that I think that if we act as 26 entities operating under the same policy and practices, that we're going to help foster those behaviors and improve communication and problem solving and mutual respect and enjoyment for everybody and learning for everybody. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Just a thought, Mr. Rex, if this policy is approved, we need to get it out to the public somehow, so when maybe that would be sent out to all the families and school sites. And is that common practice for a new board policy or administrative reg?
I think that's a great, good idea. And I was also concerned, too, when I read it, that student-to-student conduct should probably have the same penalties. I mean, students do get in fights. I know that over the years, and I've seen a more significant increase in student language that I would never have tolerated 10 years, 20 years ago. And that's just students speaking to each other. I'm not sure that anybody ever told them, you know, that's inappropriate. So hopefully we can maybe do something there.
And typically we do send this out the minute the board does approve it to all of the sites, and they disseminate it from there. Certainly we can also put a tab on our webpage saying new board policy and place it there for folks who want to go and reference a new policy.
Good.
And this is a public hearing, correct? So it's still right. Not done yet.
Okay, is there a move to close the public hearing?
Move to close, please.
Okay, Mr. Crawford moves second. To close. Mr. Fleury seconds. Okay, and now we need a motion to adopt. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Okay, all those in favor of closing the public hearing? Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? And now we need a motion to adopt BP 1313, and it also is AP, right? Administrative and is it the next one?
This is just for the board policy.
Oh, board policy, okay.
Make a motion to adopt board policy 1313.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? Okay, that brings us to Facilities and Energy Management Department. Bid award, Lyndhurst High School, HVAC, increment 1, project 8151. Anybody to, Ryan, do you have any comments there? Or?
Well, we had the qualification that went through the board. We had qualified firms. They did a project walk. We obviously had the bid advertisement and the plans. We did everything per public contract code, and we had a low bidder about what we estimated the hard construction costs would be. They're subject to an addendum, possibly,
hours additional? Probably, maybe not. But we'll hopefully stay in line with this, and we'll continue to give the district. I know we have our quarterly reports, but we'll give the board updates on a more frequent basis. We're meeting tomorrow. Cynthia's, Ms. Jensen set up a meeting to have a preliminary document exchange and to do a quick job walk. So we're going to get the ball rolling. We'll have an updated memo too on our tentative timeline moving forward, and we should have this this project completed by late March, early April, and by the time it gets hot again, it should be hopefully a memory and working and functioning well, the new system.
Okay, here's something I think is kind of interesting. This is a huge amount of money.
Yes.
We're putting, and the date of completion is no later than 4/15/16.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any penalty for if the company does not complete by that date?
We have standard liquidated damages clauses in our contract, so there are.
I'm sorry.
There's a certain amount of days, and so that's why we give it 120 days, so it ends up 4/16. Yeah. We have all the documents. It's in the packet, so.
Okay. Yeah, and I see that now. It's $1,500. I didn't see it in the back, but I saw it. Thanks, Glenn.
What does it mean to be substantially complete?
Well, sometimes you have to do some small items in terms of closing it out with DSA. It might not be DSA closed out, but it's substantial enough where you can occupy and use the system to its full capabilities. You might just have a couple little items to close it out with certification.
So who determines that definition?
Usually you work with your architect to make sure that there's been completion on the plans as what they've been, and you work with your DSA inspector. So really the DSA inspector, who's our consultant, to make sure that it's DSA compliant, and the architect and also the district itself work together to all agree.
They decide if it's substantially completed at a certain point?
What you have your plans, and obviously your plans could be up to 100% completion is done. Substantial completion is basically 99% or higher, but what happens is the DSA inspector is watching and they're doing a checklist as they're installing things. They're obviously going through the procedures that the contractors, they have the plans, they know the plans from a practical standpoint like the architect would. When both the architect can see that progress has been made in the plans and the DSA inspector agrees and says, I've observed the work that's got up to this point, we can occupy, we can occupy this HVAC system, we can use it to its full capabilities, then it's substantially completed. There may be a small couple little items just to close it out with final DSA certification, but you can use the system.
So the definition is substantially completed is we can occupy it and it runs.
Mm-hmm.
And DSA is the one that tells us that.
DSA, well, we have a DSA inspector who's certified by DSA with a procedure. DSA. We'll submit a form that has substantial completion. You have to do your notice of completion through the board and have everything tied out and then file for your completion. So we're basically saying we've got it to a point where we're ready to just dot the I's and cross the T's. So, yeah, it's completed for use.
And then I know that the lease-leaseback thing's been challenged in court for a project this size. This makes me a little uneasy that we don't run into some large change orders. But as long as there's nothing unethical or illegal the way we've been doing lease-leaseback projects, wouldn't that seem like a better way to go with projects that are over 500,000 or a million, whatever we set the bar at, used to?
Typically, kind of, it varies from district to district.
Until the courts decide one way or the other, and we're doing it ethically and legally, because there hasn't been a decision one way or the other, so I don't see how you're illegal if there hasn't been a decision rendered.
There's been a decision in appeals court rendered about the spirit of the law and what was actually being taken in practice. What we were doing in practice is, I don't know. And there's different circumstances and facts you have to look.
But did they uphold it, or did they say
the Supreme Court
not being used the right way?
It was an opinion issued by appeals. The Supreme Court has not elected not to hear the appeal, so we'll see where it goes from here, but I've seen a lot of varying legal positions. I couldn't recommend using that model at this time. Doesn't mean it won't be something we use in the future. And it doesn't mean that using it in the past was something. It's just changed the perspective a little bit about what the court legally constitute as a true and legal form of a lease-leaseback agreement.
Is that something that could be held up for years and years? Because we've went down this path with the low bid, and we had a lot of issues with it in the past, and that's what makes me nervous about it. And, you know, I know you went through an RFQ, and I'm sure you've got a good contractor and everything, but, you know, it's not necessarily that person. You know, it might be the seventh or eighth project we get into, and all of a sudden we're in a big legal battle again, and, you know, the board president gets to go down to do all of his stuff with the attorney. And
and here we're only, the low bid is $141,000 or $140,000 lower. That's, I personally, I see that as just a couple change orders, and then they're making as much as the regular bidder.
Well, the one thing with the low bid, and I understand why lease-leaseback was utilized in a lot of times, because you can obviously work with a contractor that you've well vetted out, and we vet them out to the degree we could with the RFQ. But unlike a lease-leaseback, where there's a 10% contingency built into the agreement, you will see every change order that comes. This percentage will be reported to you. Obviously, if it is a vehicle or avenue that we don't have the success we want as a district, we'll continue to explore other avenues or other delivery methods, such as lease-leaseback in the future. Well,
lease-leaseback,
we have change orders. We had change orders on LA.
I'm not saying they don't have change orders. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that that contingency is built in, and there's a top price, and that's all there is. But if this is the way we go, this is the way we have to go.
See, the concern is here, Ryan, when we did a lot of projects in the past, we were running change orders, I would say, in excess of 15-20% on some projects. When we went to lease-leaseback, we ran at about 1-3%.
In a competitive bid environment.
We've seen both sides of the coin, and it kind of burnt us on the one side.
In a competitive bid environment, you're always worried that the contractor buys the job by low bidding and knowing that they're going to try to come back with change orders. So this is an obviously, depending on the delivery method, there's different challenges that our staff has to manage the project. And this is the third district I've worked with projects. I've seen successes and failures on both methods.
So, Ryan, I would hope that the contractor is going to maybe work with Bob and Travis, because this construction is going to take place while the students are there. And the hope is that we make sure we keep those students safe with whatever is going to take place. So if we have to reroute them in different doors of C building, and just hopefully there's going to be a dialogue between that contractor, Bob, and Travis to make sure that happens.
Yeah, it's off hours except for we have breaks. So, for example, Thanksgiving break, which I don't know how much work we'll have work done by then, because there's a lead time for materials. But most likely during, we have a three-week winter break, time will be taken. This is a facilities project, so obviously Cynthia is taking the lead, but she'll also work directly. Obviously Mr. Eckhart will be there. And Mr. Barnett and his staff, or anybody else from the larger maintenance operations under Mr. Lane, will be there as well. So we'll have all hands on deck. That's why tomorrow it's even a preliminary job walk. We're really first thing is starting to have these conversations, and we know it's a concern. We don't want to. There's been construction on different campuses, but with this, because you're existing buildings that we're utilizing, we are going to have to, when school's in session, use off hours. And weekends, possibly.
Okay. Any other discussion? The board will entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Mr. Fleury, is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, any nays? None. Well, we'd like to stay, but...
but.
Okay.